adesso parte il tiro, rete, 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 un gol straordinario.
Welcome to Rete This Way, a culture podcast that brings you the latest and greatest news from the world of Serie A and European soccer. My name is Michael D'Angelo, and with us, as always, we have Paolo Nobiloni Mangoni.
Welcome back, everyone.
We got a Mr. Chris Pacelli.
I usually say hello, everybody, but I'm just going to apologize for that intro song.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, they got to put everybody to sleep.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. I was going to say it. Yes. I was also going to say it, so it's. I'm glad that... It's in the...
Someone had to say it. Someone had to say it.
And of course, we have Gigi, Julian D'Angelo.
I also agree. That almost put me to sleep.
So, I warned everybody. Fair warning was put to everybody, but Paul insisted, and he's still humming the tune.
That's Paulo's workout music.
Yeah, it's a, yeah.
Listen, it's a great song. I listen to damn lyrics. Anyway...
I can't listen to the lyrics if I'm asleep.
That's it. You might actually wake up and speak Napolitan.
Napolitan?
Yeah.
No one has seen The Hand of God on Netflix?
No.
The Diego Maradona story?
No, it's around that. It's about so Paolo Sorrentino, he also directed The Young Pope with Jude Law on HBO.
Okay.
So he made a movie kind of a dramatization about his life.
Right.
And he used the story arc of Maradona to kind of anchor his story. And that's the song that's played in the last scene. And to me, it is Naples. The song is called Napoli, and to me that's a song that just represents Naples, and there's a reason why we chose that, right, Michael?
And just first and foremost, I want to acknowledge that in general, we let you pick the songs. You have decent song choices. I just think, again, even though you have some solid reasoning, because I do like the reasoning, it's just it put me to sleep, and I can't deny that, and Chris and Julian also cannot deny that, but I will stay awake despite it, and we will talk about what we want to talk about, which is Napolitan Insigne in Toronto.
So he had his press conference this week, and what I found interesting was the articles that were written about afterwards. And I think it's what's his name, Bill Manning, Chris. He's the chief. Yeah, talked about how after Jovinko left, there was a drop off in season ticket holders, and the reason why was because it's related to the Italian Canadian community. In Toronto, and how Manning was looking for something or someone to kind of reinvigorate sleeping fan base to kind of bring to get that commercial aspect of TFC back online again. And what I found interesting is that he waved off the comparisons between Insigne and Jovinko. Obviously, you can even make the stature comparison as well. But he gave Jovinko credit at the end that he was that Jovinko was the one that energized that club, and he also made history by winning a trophy with Toronto.
Yeah, and I think there's, you know, he almost was a trailblazer, right? Because there was obviously a lot of players who have gone to MLS, and it was almost in a, I mean, similar to what kind of Chiellini's doing, in the sense that he had his successful club career in Europe, etc., and then almost in as like a swan song, kind of goes to MLS to, you know, collect one last paycheck, and, you know, have a little bit of fun in the USA. Jovinko came and he was still in his prime, arguably, if not in his prime, close to it. And then he came here and he dominated for those years that he was there, right? So, you know, Insigne, I'm not sure if we can say he is in his prime, but he is still not past, I guess, the point of, you know, or closer to that Chiellini point where Chiellini's now in, where's the LA?
Yep, LAFC.
Yeah, right, so... I mean, we can't really put that comparison directly because I think Insigne probably has a little more, energy in his game still left remaining. But, you know, it's interesting the choice, I guess, that he's made, because, again, he probably still could have played in Europe.
I think he said it himself in his press conference. It was a lifestyle choice. You know, I think... he probably made a that lifestyle choice that he wouldn't want to play for any other Italian team other than Napoli, and Toronto offered him a way out. I mean, it certainly sweetens the deal when you know, Toronto comes in with $11 million Canadian, I think it is. So that helps, but I think the deal breaker, or the clincher, in my opinion, was the fact that Mancini gave his blessing, and the fact that he would be still considered for the Italian national despite going to the MLS. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think, you know, you're talking about the comments about reinvigorating, you know, a fan base that kind of petered off after exit of Jovinko. Do we think, again, and not to pump like the Italian tires necessarily all the time, but would this have worked with someone else? Like, would this have worked with a, let's say, Portuguese star? Because I feel like, not to say a certain Portuguese star, but just in general, you know, I feel like there is a strong Portuguese community there as well in Toronto. And I feel like it's interesting that they went the Italian route, and it might be because not to, you know, flame the Farmers League kind of narrative, but maybe again because the league really is the closest or the most poachable league, I'll say, for MLS.
I think.
No, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I think you could have had a positive effect, you know, if you bring in a Portuguese player, but I think it would be easier for TFC to look at it and say, you know, we had an Italian superstar in here before. It was great for our season ticket numbers. It was great for jersey sales, blah, blah, blah. So let's repeat that instead of trying to see if a Portuguese star can replicate it. So I think maybe the past success with Jovinko helped them steer back towards, you know, an Italian player versus someone else. And just quickly with regards to, you know, the type of player Insigne is and where he's at in his career. I mean, we all know he's, you know, had that left wing position on lock at Napoli for, you know, number of years now. I think physically he's kind of lost that burst of acceleration. I don't think he's a slow player now, but I don't think he'll have that same burst that he used to have, you know, when he was 23, 24, 25. So I wouldn't be surprised if after the first year he kind of gets moved to more of an attacking midfielder position where he's not really expected to make those long bursting runs as much as he would at the winger position. So that was just a quick thought I had.
Mm-hmm. Paul?
Well, about the Portuguese star player, obviously it's not Ronaldo because you have to pay out, you know, 30 million. But anyone else, I mean, they're probably, it's not the same pool in the sense that who else other than Ronaldo could go? Yeah, Felix is still in the prime of his career.
He's still young, yeah.
No, still, Nani already went to the MLS. I think it was Orlando, right, Chris?
Yeah, Pepe maybe is close to being Pepe, that.
But he's still playing. He still wants to play in Europe.
Yeah.
I think he's still at Porto. So there's no really one anyone available. And plus, the wages in Serie A are still are still low enough where a TFC can pay more than what Napoli was willing to offer, for example.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what I was alluding to, is that it's almost a perfect storm for for the MLS at this point, and specifically Toronto FC, who are finding some quality players, not for cheap, but for affordable wages that they're willing to commit to, because again, of the state of Serie A, right? So it's just an interesting dynamic that kind of exists, and it's not necessarily that the quality isn't there, because I think I'll answer my own question from before. I don't know that it's like the Farmers League kind of narrative that I was pushing, but I think it is really that, you know, the economics is really what's driving that conversation rather than the quality of play, which still exists. Okay, interesting. And just to kind of jump back to that Insigne point that you mentioned, Chris, again, saying that he might not have the same, that step that he's had for a decade in Napoli, right? Like, do you think, just to compare the two, because they're good, there's, regardless of what happens, there will be comparisons between Insigne and Jovinko at this point in terms of, you know, performance and I guess achievements going forward. Do you think he can replicate what Jovinko has done in the past, or is there a form of replication that he can find some success with?
No, I don't see him replicating what Jovinko did, and for a lot of the reasons we've already mentioned. Again, as you said at the beginning, Mike, Jovinko, came in, you know, kind of in his prime. Whereas if Insigne is coming where he's, you know, at the end of his prime, or you could argue mm-hmm. he's already left his prime, and then Jovinko was playing as a striker in his prime, so I think there was that advantage there. No, I don't see him replicating Jovinko's success. I think Jovinko also won an MVP.
Yeah.
So I don't see Insigne reaching those levels. But like Paulo alluded to, I think there'll be a similar effect with regards to excitement around the club, excitement around, MLS with a player of his talent being here.
Right. The marketability is still there. Maybe not necessarily. Yeah.
The on field effect won't be the same.
Right.
Well, if you want to talk about on-field effects, sorry, Julian, you can go after this, but there's also another Neapolitan that came in this week, not with the same fanfare, but Crescito. Crescito came in, and he still could have played another season with Genoa, but again, made that lifestyle choice to go to MLS to follow Insigne, and you know, from what I've been reading, is that That's an area where TFC is struggling this season. They're conceding plenty of goals. Maybe Chris can talk to more about this point. But if they can build the team around and seeing it, maybe they can get to the same points where Jovinko brought them.
I've the handful of games that I've watched this year, I did just notice there were quite a few young players playing in the back, guys that came up through the academy, and I think it's great to give them that opportunity. But at the same time, if you know they're not quite at the level yet, then it makes sense to bring in a player like Crescito. So, I think he'll definitely be a what's the word I'm looking for here?
It'll be a boon to their defense, anyways. Either way,
yes, yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's interesting. He's 35. going on 36 this year, actually in December. So it's, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see for sure, because again, we know, obviously we know of Genoa's struggles over the last couple seasons. What does that quality match? You know what I mean? Like, does the quality of a lower seated or lower kind of bottom of the table team in Serie A, someone who, you know, was a stalwart there, is he someone that can make a positive impact in the MLS regularly? Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting, all of this is going to be very interesting as like a case study, even in the future, to kind of like understand what the, you know, what the it, this could be a litmus test almost for MLS's, I guess, success or quality rating post, you know, the last couple of years of when, since, I guess, year zero when Jovinko came, for example.
Well, you bring a litmus test and a case study. For me, it was, it reminds me of Nesta and Divayo when they went to Montreal. I can't remember how many years ago now, but I guess that's showing my age. But again, you had a striker, but again, Divayo obviously wasn't the same age as Insigne, but he's more like a Chiellini type going at the end of his career. Same with Nesta. Nesta probably played less than half the games that he was eligible in. He was always injured. But but he did bring a level of experience which did improve Montreal whenever he was playing, obviously. Yeah. And I think that's what they're looking for with Crisito, in the sense that again, as Chris said, there's a bunch of young academy players, which makes sense why Toronto is struggling in the sense that they're conceding goals. Crisito could come in, bring some stability to that back end and kind of shore up with just teaching these young players about, you know, the nuances of playing in the back line.
Yes.
Yeah. Julian. Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah. What are your, what are your,
I mean, I think you guys have kind of touched on everything. I think it's a good move. I'm, like you guys said, I'm interested to see. I think they're going to be starters and obviously improve the team, but I'm interested to see how much better they are, if you will. Just as you said, to see where the MLS is, because I think we can all agree the MLS is becoming a stronger league overall, but obviously they're not quite at the level yet of the European teams, but it'll be interesting to see how Insigne will do. I don't think he's quite past his prime, if I'm being honest, but I don't know. I think he'll do well for them.
Yeah, I'm again. That's the, for me, that's the question that I want, that I'm going to look for answers for this year, is to see again, really going forward, given the economic situation of these leagues in Europe and the stability of, you know, coming, like Insigne says, like making a lifestyle choice and coming to America, to I guess put roots down a little bit and play in a league where, you know, it is growing. What's that going to look like? Like, what is MLS's impact going to be on these other leagues? If, you know, aside from Premier League, maybe they can start to pull a lot more players. And I think again, Jovinko probably was the start of that. Insigne is a surprise, but it might be like a warning shot too. You know what I mean? Like there could be more of these on the horizon, especially outside of just Toronto. Toronto just happens to be doing this with the Italian teams, but yeah.
No, I was about to say, it reminded me of China. I remember when a lot of players went to China. I think Hulk is a good example of that. And I think the MLS doing this now shows how they evolved from, you know, just after 25 years of existence, of their stability and finally poaching players at, not at the age of 36, 37, like they did with David Beckham or yeah. Nesta or De Vio, but at the age of, you know, 28, 29, 30, 31. Again, it just shows how much they grew as a league and how perhaps, not, I'm not saying it's happening anytime soon, but perhaps they can start challenging with European teams when they face them in preseason or when they face them in the Club World Cup, which I think the format is now changing to make it more of a more challenging tournament for the European teams.
Yeah, speaking of World Cup, I think we're going to see post, not this current one, post the next World Cup, which is taking place obviously in Canada, USA, Mexico. I think after that World Cup, we're going to see a lot more of this. I think there's going to be a migration of younger players willing to play here after having seen facilities, all these things that exist here. And if the pay is there, why not? Right? Like the prestige will come if they come as well. Right. So it's, I think we'll see in 4 years. I think it can reach another level still. And I think it's trending that way.
Well, Michael, one last thing before you want to move on, but after 1994, the World Cup in the United States, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but 2 years later is when the MLS was founded.
It was within a year or two. Yeah.
It was exactly. Yeah. And so Michael, by saying that, the World Cup coming, almost a generation after mm-hmm. the last World Cup that was held in the United States or in North America, for sure can have that type of transformative impact that you were alluding to.
I truly believe it. And I think, again, it's all to be seen, but I think we will see it. We'll see something for sure. Okay. Let us move on. Obviously that was our, we had to kick off with some CanCon because, Canada Day of course is upon us, but, also happy Canada Day. Let's just, yeah.
Brav.
Why don't we get into I guess the true meaning of this podcast, which is to dive into the European I guess transfers. Really, that's kind of what we want to do in this podcast. And of course, to set that up, we have as always our theme song here. There we go, Rumore, because it's the transfer Rumore segment, the noise segment, Paulo.
The noise segment, exactly. Again, that song is so good. I absolutely love that song.
It's a classic, and we're only going to play it twice a year now. That's it. Actually, no, okay, we'll play it in the summer and in the winter. And the winter transfer, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's it. You only get it... If we commit to just four transfer shows, that's only four times we're ever going to play it.
Well, in January, yeah. In the summer, the transfer market lasts until end of August.
Yeah, but maybe this is our only two transfer shows. Maybe the rest we're going to talk about film and what else are we
skipping for? Film, music, MLS,
MLS. Okay, let's get down to business here. So we've got obviously a few teams to get through, but I guess we'll start with Juventus. Yeah, let's start there.
Okay, so like I said last week, Pogba is set to come, I guess, the week of the 4th. So we'll see what day that is. It's between, I think it was July 5th and July 8th. See if that anything changes. There was an update with the Di Maria deal. So it's down to the final details. So that's looked like he was convinced. I think it's a year's contract. Supposedly his wife made a big impact on the decision. Another one is Cambiaso from Genoa. So it's they're going to send Dragusin, who's worth or valued at 5.5 million euros plus 4.5 million euros in cash to Genoa for Cambiaso again. So that probably means Pellegrini is gone. Or they're getting rid of Alexandre, but I don't think so. I think Alexandre's still well liked by Allegri. Yeah. Let's see here. So last week we did mention talk about De Ligt to Chelsea. So and there were some comments from Maurizio Rivera-Bennett this week, or I should say today, but as we're recording, that again, it's that old story about. We only keep players that want to play or stay.
Don't want to be here. Yeah,
that want to be here. So we're trying to, you know, make all three parties happy, etc., etc. So that necessarily means he's probably leaving. So Juventus are trying to get the most from the deal, I'm assuming, and they're looking at alternatives. So last week I mentioned Koulibaly. This week, a new name came up is Kimpembe from PSG. Again, I don't watch Ligue 1, so Chris, maybe you can touch on this.
I mean, I think Kimpembe is an upgrade on every center back you have other than De Ligt. So he's young too. I think he's probably 23 at the most. So yeah, it would be a good pickup. I don't know what the transfer fee is there, but I'm assuming if coming from PSG, it won't be cheap.
No. And then again, if Juventus do get anywhere close to the 120, which I don't think it will be, I think it'll be probably closer to like 80. Hopefully they don't get, Chelsea doesn't put in a player. They just give them straight cash. Then they can use, I'm assuming probably 50, 60 on this Kimpembe. And then the rest on Koulibaly, since he also has 1 year left on his contract. So again, if they can monetize De Ligt and get enough money where they can actually rebuild their defense, then I wouldn't mind losing De Ligt. But you know, again, I would hope that he would stay. I think. Now that Chiellini's gone, I think he can make that position his own.
Yeah, we kind of offline we kind of discussed this, right? Like talking about realistically again, what's the reasoning here, or if you can get X amount, like do you do it, etc. So if they're saying, because right now the release clause is 120, is that correct?
Yeah.
So again, that's the kind of minimum that they want. They are expecting to get out of a De Ligt sale. So like we said, I don't know if we said this last week specifically, but, or since then, if it's what's come out, but they're saying that Chelsea have been trying to include, I think, a couple players like Timo Werner and, yep.
Pulisic, I think.
And Pulisic perhaps. Right. So
but is it the LeBron James of soccer?
That's right. So again, at what point, is that acceptable? I guess the question, right? Like if they're willing to include a couple players plus cash, what does that mean necessarily for your ability to transform other parts of your squad, right? Is Pulisic able to move the needle enough for you, or is Werner able to the same way plus the 60 million or whatever it is that makes up that difference? Because realistically, you're not going to get 80 million plus two players. You're probably going to get closer to 60 or 40 plus two players if that's what they want to offer. But again, if you're Juventus, you don't necessarily have to sell, especially if, you know, you can convince them to sign a contract there. So it's weird. If he doesn't want to be there, I think you probably do make that move and find a space for him elsewhere. But you just, they probably have in their mind, they have to make up that 120 value. So however creatively they can get to there while still being able to reinvest into, like you said, the defense, probably if you're going to lose him, that's probably the most important aspect of that.
Well, there's also talk that they're also trying to renegotiate the contract, and then Delic wants a lower, transfer clause.
Yeah, which I think we mentioned too, that he wanted to lower to 100 or something like that, which I guess is, again, it is that's more palatable for Juve, I'd argue, than, you know, accepting probably 60 plus two players. I don't think that that's the right move necessarily, but I think even if he accepts the contract, lowers to 100, then at least if someone is activating that release clause, you're still getting $100 million, euros rather.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. I said, if I'm Juventus, I make that deal, lower the release clause, and then force Chelsea or whoever to pay that 100 million to allow Delic to leave.
Yeah. And again, then you really have, you can bolster whatever you need to bolster. Again, who knows if the great reset of transfer fees is going to continue, if it's going to go back down to prices that make sense for the majority of players. Obviously, you're always going to get some higher values for, you know, really proven, I guess, talents. But, you know, if you can build with enough, I guess, advanced scouting on a lot of players and buy them cheaply, again, 100 million can go far.
So speaking about quote-unquote, well, I was going to say proven talents, quote-unquote.
Oh, okay.
But
I thought you were going to say cheap and move to Milan, but continue.
I'll get to that. But so Zaniolo, so they were saying, there's a report out from Dramarzo saying that Juventus are looking at another winger besides Di Maria. So I guess, you know, if they do sell Delic, they probably will use some of that cash to throw at Roma. My guess, okay, because Juventus love, probably going to do the same formula that they did with Chiesa, a large loan fee, and then a large obligation to buy. So I think the only way they're going to convince Roma is if they find some sort of formula, either 20-40, in my opinion, to get to that magic number of 60 million that Roma, I think, are demanding and won't budge. Because, again, so it's the same situation like Delic. Zaniolo has a year contract, and they're probably not – and I think there's a report that they won't even discuss the contract with him, a contract extension, until the end of this upcoming season.
Roma won't, or he doesn't want to?
Roma won't.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not to speak on every subject, but I feel like it's an interesting move because, again, obviously they've had their sights on Zaniolo ever since we saw it on a paper napkin, I think, like 5 years ago. Remember, Paul?
Yeah, the lips on the napkin. Yeah.
So it's interesting, again, seeing Dybala go. Yeah,
and I was about to say, it also Chiellini talking about
in the background.
In the background, yeah.
Rumors, yeah. It's allegedly.
Yeah.
No, but again, it's interesting. Obviously, with a talent like Dybala walking away, and then they have their sights set on poaching a talent from Roma. So again, who also has been troubled by injury in the past. So it's interesting movements. I'd like to see you. I want to see a year from now if they do end up making that transfer, et cetera. I'd like to see what the results were after that, because I'm not convinced that it's as transformative for them, if that's our word of the day here, as they'd like it to be. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like keeping a Dybala probably would have helped secure the strength of the squad more than bringing in Zaniolo, but Zaniolo's younger as well. So if he can stay healthy, that there's a lot of value there.
Well, again, I think it comes down to the fact that his agent was trying to reach into the cookie jar and, mm-hmm. and got caught.
So finally,
remember I was complaining during the Sarri era where the prima donnas were running the show. Now they shipped them out. One of the players made a wrong move. Was not him personally, but it was his agent that, in my opinion, fucked up. Mm-hmm. And they shipped him out. I mean, fine. I respect, if that was the case, then I respect that. But like, you can't allow players to dictate transfer policy and also managerial policy. And
you're starting to sound a lot like Il Mister.
Yeah, well,
Chris Pacelli.
Again, I don't want to get on a tangent that we already said my piece about that. Michael, quickly about Roma. I think they offered 20 million plus one player to Sassuolo. I think Sassuolo is still demanding 35 million. My money on that player is either Diawara or Darbo. Because those are the two players that Roma are trying to get rid of. An update on the Celik move. I think their Roma is going to offer this week seven.
Zeki Celik?
Yeah, there you go. Celik. And they want to offer $7 million plus bonuses to Lille, so they're hoping that will be enough to convince them. So that's Roma. So speaking about poor clubs, a club that still hasn't re-signed their sporting directors, which on Thursday, as of Thursday, is their last day of their contract. So we'll see if there's any movement on that.
Yeah.
Because
Friday would dictate a new fiscal, probably.
Exactly. Yeah. So it'd be the end of the season officially in Europe. So speaking about Milan, there was a report that they offered Dybala $4 million per year, a contract for $4 million per year.
Bits of string.
I have $3. that's essentially like half of what he's asking for. I think that was just like, yeah, he's on the market, and we're just like, yeah, here's $4 million, take it or leave it. And that's pretty much the only other club other than Inter that are in the Champions League.
Julian, is it realistic to say that Inter can still get Dybala now that Lukaku's confirmed?
I think so, yeah. But the rumors are they want to get rid of Sanchez plus one other forward.
More than likely, bring in Dybala?
Yeah, so Sanchez plus Dzeko or Correa.
Okay, let's get to Milan first. Because then I want to talk about what happened with Lukaku today. Chris, now that Botman went to Newcastle, they're looking up Hincape and Diallo. You watch more European soccer than I do. What do you think of those names?
Say the first one again.
I believe it's Hincape. He plays for Bayer Leverkusen, I think. I think he's Colombian.
Him I haven't seen play. And then Diallo, which, I mean, there are a lot of Diallos. So
Diallo?
The one that plays for PSG.
Ah, okay. Him I like. Again, just depends on how much, which, again, I'm sure there's a budget there. So, again, like I said, or I think I said this last week, it would have been nice to have Botman, obviously, left-footed center back. But, again, if Tomori and Kalulu can, you know, play next season the way they played, you know, the last 8-9 games of the season, then to have Kjaer and then someone else kind of spell him, then I think we're okay there. So whether it's Diallo or this other Leverkusen player you mentioned, I'm okay with that. But obviously, Botman chose money over Champions League. I think Newcastle has a good project going, but I don't see them being in the Champions League in the next 2 years minimum. And it's probably a lot more than that. But anyways, that's my thoughts on Botman.
Okay, so another name... Actually, another two names. I think last week you brought up Acerbi. So that's still in the background. And then, again, linking back to Inter as well, Milan are still watching Bremer, so they're just watching to see if Inter are going to make a mistake and allow room to pounce on. So again, Milan are still looking at Bremer because Inter still hasn't closed the deal for the Torino player. So moving up the field, Renato Sanchez is going to PSG. So another missed transfer target for Milan. And then I believe this week, Origi completed his medicals and will be official shortly. And then to replace Renato Sanchez as the target, it's Ziyech from Chelsea. So what I'm reading from there is 5 plus 20.
Yeah, I guess it's a replacement in terms of, just another player on the list, but not a positional replacement, because Ziyech plays more as a probably as a right winger, maybe as an attacking mid if you have to, whereas if Renato Sanchez is kind of like that Frank Kessie box-to-box type guy. So, but right wing is another position of need for Milan, so if Ziyech ends up being the guy they bring in, it's still an upgrade on what we currently have.
That's what I got on my list for Milan. Do you have anything else to add?
There was one other, his name escapes me now, South American player. It was another center midfielder, younger guy.
Was it from Corinthians?
Yeah, perhaps. I want to say his last name was Fernandez, but anyways, that's the only other one of note for Milan.
Okay, so as promised, Julian, I wanted to touch on Lukaku. So he took number 90. So that means Dzeko staying, in my opinion. Go ahead.
I mean, maybe, but they also probably, I don't know. I think if an offer for Dzeko comes, then they'll change it before the season starts. I think this is just because they don't want to be shown as pushing Dzeko out the door. But yeah, so today was Lukaku Day. I honestly, even up until like 3 weeks ago, I didn't even think this was possible. I thought Chelsea would want an obscene amount of money. I thought he'd want like 12 million a year, but an 8 million euro dry loan, and he reduces contract to 8 million a year. So, hey, it's a fantastic deal for Inter. As Lanny also had his medicals today, so he's probably going to be announced tomorrow or early next week. Bellanova is supposed to have his medicals next week, and I imagine once we hit July, you'll also have the Mkhitaryan and Onana announcements come through. Beyond that, so yeah, as we mentioned, for Dybala, they're still kicking tires, they're still hanging around, but they need to wait for one more forward to leave, is the rumor. Bremer, they've apparently had an agreement with him since December, but they need to find an agreement with Torino, but that probably won't happen until Skriniar is sold, which apparently Chelsea are now in that race. Inter are looking for 70 to 80 million. PSG's most recent offer, I think, was 66 plus bonuses. I think that's it for the main sales. They had a few smaller outgoings. Martin Satriano was supposed to join Empoli on loan. Stefano Sensi is supposed to join Monza on loan, assuming he passes his medicals. I think it was Spezia and Sampdoria are interested in taking Zinho van Usden on loan for a year. And they loan/sold. Sposito is going to Anderlecht, loan with option to buy for 10 million, but Inter have a buyback option for 11.5.
Okay, so just want to touch on, so you talked about Bremer. So from what I understand is Bremer is an objective regardless if they sell Skriniar or not. I believe if they do sell Skriniar, they're looking at Milinkovic from Fiorentina.
Yeah, those are the rumors as well. But I think
you don't buy it then.
No, regardless, I think Skriniar, like, it sounds like he's going to be sold, but they may also be selling De Vrij as well, just because they do need money. De Vrij has 1 year left on his contract. This is probably the last time you're going to get any real offer for him or any real value for him. Now, I don't like selling two of your three center backs in one summer, but yeah, it is what it is with Inter, unfortunately.
I mean, considering that they already made the moves, definitely puts them a step ahead of Milan so far.
For sure. Like, the signings they've made have been good. Like, Mkhitaryan and Aslani already increased their midfield depth tenfold over last year. You get Lukaku back as well, which is hilarious.
Oh, and you just reminded me. So, this, again, talking about Lukaku, I thought this was hilarious, and I wanted to bring this up. There, Lukaku had an interview on the Inter website, and was mentioned in Italian that he was in contact with Inzaghi throughout last season. And as soon as that got translated, Chelsea fans were, like, just losing their shit. And it's just like they finally realized at that point in time that they got fleeced hard. Like, they essentially they fleeced them, and for 100 million, they sold them for
113,
and Inter is literally still up, still in the positive, almost 100 million. So I find that absolutely hilarious.
It's so funny, but yeah, this. So it's a season-long dry loan. I imagine it'll get extended next year, and they'll probably have some sort of option or obligation after the next season.
Yeah. Anything else on Inter?
No, I think I touched on most. I'm just trying to think. But yeah, I think I got everything.
Okay. So, Michael, do you mind if we swing by? So talking about Milinkovic, I think Fiorentina is the perfect segue there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Fiorentina are looking to build on their midfield because Torreira went back to Arsenal. So they're looking at Dennis Praet, who former Sampdoria player and also was on loan at Torino last season. So either a loan or $7 million plus bonus to buy him outright. They're also looking to close a deal for Mandragora for $10 million from Juventus. And then they're still working on the deal for Jovic. So again, as we said last week, it's 50% of Jovic's $6 million salary from Manchester United. And they're also looking for a goalkeeper, which is Golini from Atalanta on loan. I think, again, to sum up those names, there are decent names for each of the positions that they have a need for. Again, I'm Golini going to Tottenham from Atalanta last season. I thought Atalanta could have found someone better in Musso, but that turned out to be an absolute disaster and one of the reasons why Atalanta finished outside of Europe this season. So Golini going to Fiorentina is an automatic upgrade. It's unfortunate that Dragoski got injured when at Fiorentina and lost his position, his place to Terracciano, who is not even that good as well. So Golini comes in. If Golini comes in, I think he'll be a starter automatically. And then Praet and Mandragora are two solid names in Serie A. So, and of course, Jovic, another Serbian to replace Vlahovic, who went to Juventus.
Just quickly, is this Jovic from Madrid?
Yeah, yes. Madrid. Yeah,
okay,
Madrid.
You said Man U.
I thought I said...
Oh, I thought I heard you say.
Man. He did say Man U. He meant Madrid.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to verify that it was.
I thought I said Real Madrid. Okay, my bad.
Sorry. Follow.
okay, so let's and then. What I find interesting here, let's move on to Sassuolo quickly. I talked about Frattesi to Roma, Scamacca to PSG. So 40 million plus bonuses.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't understand PSG's transfer plan, strategy. It just seems to be to always be present everywhere and just want to just to buy.
Well, what I find interesting is that they bought, you know, young players from Syria
before
and they kind of worked out. I mean, Verratti, Pastoric, when you remember when he was at mm-hmm. Palermo. Cavani was the same thing, you know.
Thiago Silva,
exactly. So again,
Lavezzi,
exactly. Yeah, you can go Marquinhos. So, I think Marquinhos was at Roma, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
So you're saying that again, Serie A is a farmer's league. literally, it's the farm league for PSG.
Think about it. Who else in Italy is gonna pay? I think Sassuolo is demanding 50 million. Okay, who else is gonna get close to that in Italy? Who else wants to pay?
Juve would, but
They won't. But they would, but I don't think they're convinced that Scamacca is worth.
Yeah, sorry,
that
they
type
could.
Of money.
They won't. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
not a chance.
To me, I don't think he's proven. In my opinion, so. He did score 16 goals, etc. But I don't know. There's something about him that doesn't convince me.
You know, you forgot. Now that we're mentioning PSG a lot, you forgot the other way and the Juventus rumor there.
Which one? Oh, Neymar.
That's why they need Scamacca, because they need to replace Neymar, who's going to Juve.
Oh my God! So we did read something today, Michael, that Neymar was asked to leave.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Again, so I guess
it's all rumors. So again,
it's all rumors.
This whole
yeah.
thing is all rumors. So it's,
yeah, it's all noises. It's all noises.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, like I said, 40 million plus bonuses most likely gets close to Sassuolo's asking price, and again. If I'm Sassuolo, I'd sell him. If they get anywhere close to the 50 plus bonuses, they can't say no to that. Yeah, for Scamacca. Again, someone in my opinion is not necessarily proven on that high of a stage.
Who we don't know though, who they would replace him with? I guess right. Like, what's the solution if they do offload him?
I haven't heard anything. To that point, we can speculate here because again, it's all noise. Most likely, Raspadori will probably get more playing time.
Yeah, stays.
Exactly. We talked about Simeone. Looks like he is on his way out from Verona because they can cash in on him. Again, if Scamacca leaves, Sassuolo will be looking for a proven goal scorer. In Serie A, with Serie A experience, mm-hmm. Simeone fits the bill, in my opinion.
So does Zeko.
Julian?
I think his wages would be too high for them.
Exactly, yeah. His wages would be way too high for that. I think Simeone fits the requirements for Sassuolo to replace him.
Okay, let's keep this show rolling. We have just a few more to get through, let's try and do it in 15 minutes or less, Paul. Can we do it?
I think we can, yeah.
All right, let's go to Lazio.
Okay, so speaking about Verona, Cancellieri most likely will be going to Lazio, 7 million plus 1.5 million. Sassuolo offered 6, so again... I guess that could have been another name that Sassuolo were looking to replace Scamacca with. So there you go, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's another name from that's going to Lazio. Look like it's almost done. Gila from Real Madrid. Again, must be a youth player, as Chris alluded to offline. Loan with option to buy for, I believe it was 8 million. Or I think it's 8 million, yes. And then Real Madrid has a 50% on any future sale. Here's a name that I found interesting, Luis Alberto. So Sevilla offered 20 million, but Lazio want more because they have to pay a 30% fee to Liverpool of the sale. So 30% of the sale to Liverpool. So that's interesting. It looks like Luis Alberto is on his way out. Lazio have offered as I think as we mentioned last week, $15 million to Karnazeki. So again, Lazio are doing some good moves on the transfer market as well, looking at young players, which is interesting because Lazio doesn't really have a history of doing so since Sarri came in. A lot of it looks like it's kind of changed, and also because they have less money, so they have to look for those hidden gems. Again, I think it was the liquidity index. So then Karnazeki again replaces Strakosha, who left, looking for that long-term replacement, like I mentioned last week. Cancellieri, I believe he is a winger as well. Could play as a striker, if I'm not mistaken. And again, looking at those hidden gems from the Portuguese league, which I believe was that thing was named Cabral. Like, it came on towards the end of last season, and then again, Gila, a name that only those who follow La Liga very closely would know who he is.
What do we know on? I guess it sounds like it's cooled a little bit in terms of the Italian interest, but Milinkovic-Savic, I think, is still up in the air, is he not?
I don't think so. I think they've made it clear that he's staying at least for one more season.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Again, I think if he stays, an added bonus to Lazio, Lazio's push for a Champions League spot.
Yeah. Fair.
Okay, so another name that ties Lazio here as well is Cazale from Hellas Verona. So Lazio are looking at him, Napoli are looking at him. Monza actually had a meeting this week with Verona. Galliani said that deal collapsed. Again, so speaking about Monza, Julian mentioned earlier, Sensi on loan, Kondreva as well for $2 million, and I think they went after another Inter player, right? Other than Ranocchio, there's another one from if my memory serves me correctly.
Is it Sensi they're looking at?
Sensi's all but approved if he passes medical. They were kicking tires on Pinamonti as well.
I also read
today that Petagna is of interest.
thank you for that. And they also signed, I think since last week, they also signed Cragno as their goalkeeper for this upcoming season, which I think is a good move, even though he had an awful season last season, but still. And they also have, Di Gregorio.
They had an obligation to buy him if they got promoted from Inter.
Yeah. So, and again, I think from what I watched, he was pretty good last season, so there's a fail safe if Cragno does shit the bed in this upcoming season, that they can have the option to rotate him out.
Right. Cowabunga bunga.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that game. I'm not gonna lie. I think from the names that we saw and names that Monza have already signed, I think they're building a good team to at least stave off relegation. Maybe even push for more. Who knows? I mean, last season Empoli had a blistering first half of the season, and finished mid table. So we'll see.
The bunga effect.
Bunga effect. We'll see. We'll see if it happens. Okay, so the penultimate team. Actually, speaking about Empoli, might as well just do Empoli now. Razvan Marin from Cagliari, loan with option to buy for $7 million, and I believe since last week Destro has been official. So that's Empoli, and then my last team on the list, and we can discuss about this because ties the whole circle together. Michael, we end off with Napoli. I guess to replace to replace Insigne, it's Deulofeu. I think they're still looking at Deulofeu as a replacement, $18 million. Like I said earlier, Cazale as an option for defense. Ospina set to leave, and Ostigard, they're still negotiating for Ostigard at $5 million from Brighton. There you go. So that's that's what I got. Anyone else wants to jump in, go right ahead.
I think you covered it, no?
No, I'm glad I did. I'm saying, if I missed anything, just go right ahead.
I remembered one quick enter one because we brought up Pinamonti. Atalanta were apparently interested in him as well.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, since I think we mentioned that last week as well.
Did we mention? I think they might need to move Muriel first. I don't know.
Sorry, speaking of Atalanta, did you mention Piccoli?
Oh yeah, that's the name that I was thinking about Verona. Piccoli went to Verona. It was for like $6 million or something like that.
Around there, yeah.
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 So again, another telltale sign that Simeone's gone. So
right. Yeah. All right. Well, I think again, like I said, that's a pretty comprehensive list of what's really, I guess, the strongest kind of noise that we've been hearing recently. And, you know, it's only going to pick up, obviously, with the longer that some of these sagas are going on. We already kind of talked about how we expect maybe the Dybala one to to bleed into the summer, right? So it likely will not happen by the time we release. But if it does, our apologies. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting few weeks, I think, with a lot of these teams who are trying to, again, get these squads solidified early because of the early season. Was it Morata who said something similar to that? He said something like he expects, like, yeah, I can't remember the exact wording of it. Yeah, because
he wants, I think Inter's training camp starts on July 10th or 11th, and he basically said they want their squad finalized by that point.
Right. Yeah, which is soon, which is literally in
2 weeks. Yeah.
I like that, though. Like, I can't imagine, like, if I'm, you know, the manager, the coach of that team, that you're going throughout preseason not knowing, you know, what the guts of your squad is going to look like. I get, like, if you bring in a fringe player or if you lose a fringe player, that's not going to change your plans, but it's hard to, you know, properly prepare your team, I would imagine, anyways.
100%.
If you think a major player is going to be going or if a major player is coming in, you know, you're talking to players about their expected roles, blah, blah, blah. So I like that. I think more clubs should not mandate it, but that should be their objective anyways, is to have the squad finalized by the time preseason starts.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be an apologist by any means, but, like, look at Juve last season, right? Like, they didn't get wind of Ronaldo leaving until, like, realistically the last week of the market, and then literally at the 11th hour he left, right? So it was almost like, actually, I think probably, if I remember correctly, it was like within 3 days of, oh yeah, these are the teams. Oh, City's, he's going to go to City. No, it's actually going to be United again. And, you know, that really was a blow for them because they weren't able to properly insulate the squad, and they got off to a terrible start where they had no one who could attack. And to your point, Chris, like that could have been easily avoided if you had the knowledge and just kind of the plan set from X day and said, hey, this is what our squad is. We're solid. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. I agree.
Also, to that point, it's I think now, because the season starts August 14th, realistically, Morata said July 10th, but realistically, you got until the end of July to figure things out. So,
yeah. Which is really not that far away, right? Like, no. we're talking 2 weeks versus 4 weeks, and that's, in the grand scheme of things, that's that really could... We might hear within 2 weeks that things are heating up and then it'll be finalized by the end of the month, realistically. Yeah.
Again, like we said last week, the Dybala saga won't be solved until the end of July.
Yeah, and again, dark horse is back to Juve.
Yeah, for instead of 8, it's going to be 6.
No, or four five. Now. Four.
Four,
now
four yeah.
So Milan's offered, so 4.5.
Actually, I quickly want to touch on, you guys were talking about the agent. That's actually one of the holdups with Inter as well.
Yes, that's right.
The agent wants fees. Like 8 million euros, and Inter's basically saying, like, no, we're not paying you that. So
where do these guys get off? Honestly, where do these guys get off?
But didn't they put a cap on agent fees as well?
That sounds. I remember something coming through. I don't know when that's active, but I remember hearing that there was some sort of change that's supposed to come through to cap it. Yeah,
like if you're like, just hypothetically, if you're a player and your agent is actively obstructing your move to a club that is playing Champions League football,
it may have been a cap on when players are bought. As opposed
on the transfer fee,
you know, yeah, okay. Exactly. So yeah. that might be this, like a little bit of the loophole here, right? Because, and maybe that's again why he was pushing Dybala to leave. I don't know. There's lots of things that we're never going to know, but we can always speculate.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, but that's my point. Sure. Fine. There's a loophole, but it's he's looking for a quote unquote.
He's looking for a kick in the butt, kick in the teeth, if you ask me.
Yeah, but he's looking for a top-level team, and your agent is the one that's actively stopping that.
Working against you.
Anyway, so I find that hilarious and getting what he's deserved. But anyway, also another funny note. This past week, Roma pulled out from a preseason trophy tournament game there against, I think it's the Gamper Trophy against Barcelona. So Milan actually took that spot. So I don't know if it's a good idea. I think I think Rome was kind of smart and not, you know, opening themselves up to a heavy defeat against most likely a tough opponent, even though they're broke themselves, and focusing on their preseason development and the fact that they have to play an early game. I think that because they won the Conference League, maybe they go straight into the group stage for Europa League. But regardless, they still have to have an early start to their campaign as well. So
yeah.
I thought it was hilarious because, like, I think Barcelona are threatening to sue or something like that. And there's a good tweet from one of the Roma Twitter guys. It was like, imagine if Barcelona sues, and instead of Roma playing against Barcelona, they do a charity game with like Shakhtar Donetsk or something like that, and all the proceeds go to Ukraine. Go to Ukraine, right? And how much of a villain Barcelona will look like if they're threatening to sue. So I find that absolutely hilarious. I wouldn't, to Roma and their social media and their marketing campaign, I wouldn't put that idea past them. So.
I think you just need to remember who Roma's manager is and his experience with Barcelona.
So, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, he was at Barcelona.
He was. That was where he got. He was a translator there.
A translator, exactly. But, yeah, and I think just a manager for what's his name, Bobby Robson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Michael.
Yeah. Did we miss anything, Julian? Do you have anything to add to the convo?
No, I think we touched on a lot.
Yeah, agreed. Chris?
No. Just a Canadian women's team played in a friendly against, I believe it was Japan. I unfortunately didn't get to watch. They lost.
Korea, though?
Or maybe it was Korea. Either way.
They played two.
I know they played the one at BMO.
Which is Korea, I think it was.
Yeah, so no, that I just wanted to, again, more CanCon, so that's it for me.
Excellent. Paul?
I think I touched on everything, so. Yeah. Are we back? I think we'll be back in the next 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, we'll see. We've got, I think we can probably get into some sort of regular rotation again. If you're looking for us again, we're trying to take some sort of summer solstice. Yeah, summer, I guess,
hiatus,
but like a more lenient summer schedule, because obviously the rigorous schedule of the regular season, I guess, is rigid enough. We want to be able to kind of spread the love. So we may be back early next week. We may be back late next week. We'll be back for sure. Worst case, again, it'll be, we'll let you know either way, whether or not we're going to be kind of around, maybe the following week too. So we don't want to just keep talking to you about the same stuff just to put out a show. You know what I mean? Like it's, the point is to, you know, really update people. And I think it's, we can talk all we want, but really what's the value if it's all the same information? We can do other things. We can do Who Am I for a whole show, but we'll see.
We need a call-in show for that one.
Yeah.
Or we can just do a show about my conspiracy theories.
Yeah, you would like that.
I would like that. Yes, I would, yeah.
You specifically would like that. We have one listener on that show.
Party of one.
Party of one. Party of one, Paula Mangone. All right.
Seinfeld 4.
All right, make sure that you are following us on our social channels. So on Instagram and Twitter, we are at RTW Calcio. Again, you'll be able to keep up to date with kind of any announcements we make, any sort of, you know, contesting or anything that we do. It all lives on there, so you'll know first. And again, feel free to engage with us and make sure that you're kind of driving that conversation too. Cause you know, you want us to talk about something, we'll talk about it. We ask you questions, we'll answer questions. We love it all. So, make sure you're, involved on there. And yeah, I think that's about it. We'll be back, soon. And until then, I hope everyone enjoys their Canada Day weekend. For those not in Canada, enjoy, I guess, 4th of July, perhaps. And for those outside of those two holidays, why don't you enjoy those two anyways? Just for, you know, just 'cause.
Just because, yep.
Just because. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. Oh, yeah, actually, Paul?
Speaking of holidays, the 29th was St. Peter and Paul in Rome, so there was a holiday in Rome, speaking of holidays. So
there you go.
Yeah. For those who live in Italy.
For those who celebrate.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, enjoy all the holidays. No need to choose one. Enjoy them all. We'll see you when we see you. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Okay, bye.